This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings is the official daily fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55 and is bringing back the golden ticket giveaway with up to $55 million in prizes up for grabs. So go on over and download the DraftKings app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps to enter the free $55 million Super Bowl prediction challenge. Everyone gets an instant prize up to $25,000 just for playing. That's code FANRUN in all caps, only at DraftKings, the official daily partner of Super Bowl 55. Terms, conditions, and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Leave one wolf alive, and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cam Black, Team Haven. For the next 3 hours, we'll talk sports and other things as we get you through your Monday afternoon. No news currently today. We'll keep an eye on any updates. How are we today? Thumbs up from Hayden. Love to see it. Cameron?
Hey. I'm terrible.
You're terrible?
Yeah.
What's the matter with you?
I'm fed up with watching Tom Brady go to the Super Bowls. I'm going to be honest. And it just hurts my soul. But I have to see him in another Super Bowl and make history and all this other crap they're going to talk about for the next 2 weeks about how he's doing all these first groundbreaking things and being so good. Even though he throws three interceptions in an NFC Championship game.
No. We're not going
to
do that.
I want to congratulate you, first of all, Cam. Good call by you. You said the Bucks would, I believe, miss the playoffs. So
you came close.
You came close on that one.
As they should have. I just hate seeing him anywhere. Maybe that was out of spite that I said that. I don't know. Could have been. Who knows?
Your takes might be biased sometimes.
Maybe.
Oh.
Maybe.
And Draven, I think it's perfectly reasonable to say Tom Brady threw 3 second-half interceptions.
That's fair, but don't. Let's not.
You know they would have freaked out if it was any other quarterback in the league that had thrown three interceptions in a row like that, you know, leading a game and the other team starting to come back. They would have been losing their minds.
But he won the game. He went to the Super Bowl.
Congratulations to Tom Brady. If you're Jameis Winston, you're like, I could have thrown three interceptions. Where? Yeah. Can I get a healthy Devin White out there, please, running around making plays?
No.
That was Jameis' specialty, matching his touchdown and interceptions.
Can I have a healthy Devin White out there running around making plays? Can I have a revamped secondary? Can you draft an offensive lineman in the first round to protect me? He's probably wishing, hey, I wish I could have had that.
We're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. That's over. It's over. It's over. The disrespect to Tom Brady, it's over.
The defense forced 6 turnovers the last 2 games?
Yep.
I mean, look, this might be a hot take, but I said over the weekend, I've been thinking it for a while, and I don't know if I've said it on the radio or not yet, because I talk a lot just in life. But everyone keeps crying about Eric Bieniemy. Like, if I'm Todd Bowles, like, I want another job.
Yeah, no kidding.
No, absolutely.
Todd Bowles is a better head coaching candidate than Eric Bieniemy, and everyone keeps talking about him. I want to see Todd Bowles get out here and get a chance. That guy's a stud.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
And I know that he didn't win in New York with the Jets other than that one season, but I mean, it's the Jets.
Yeah.
Fitzpatrick was his quarterback.
Right. So, I know everyone is always wanting Eric Bieniemy to get a job, but give me Todd Bowles.
Yep.
He has completely changed that Tampa Bay defense. And, you know, I'm not trying to take away credit from Brady because you have to go out there and make, you know, enough plays to win. And, you know, you can talk about culture, too. I mean, culture, to me, is Brady's biggest strength.
Yep. Just the confidence it feels like it gives everybody else, right? Because, I mean, they knew they didn't have a chance at winning the Super Bowl this year, but you could just see in this team, some of these players last year, same team, different mentality.
I think we knew the roster was pretty talented. I mean, I'm not going to say the team didn't think they could win. I think they knew they were a quarterback away from competing.
What's your name, Owen?
And, I mean, I think the roster is why Brady ended up there, obviously. Because, I mean, he looked around and said, we got a lot of good receivers. We got some good defensive players. And they had a good draft, too. Which was maybe my big takeaway is after the game, I saw a draft writer point out that the Packers had one player of their, I believe, nine taken in the 2020 draft. They had one player even take one snap in the postseason.
The running back, AJ Dillon?
Yeah, AJ Dillon. That's it. Jordan Love obviously didn't take any snaps as the first-round pick. Mm. Neither did the third-round pick. Neither did their fifth-round pick. Neither did none of the three of their sixth-round picks or neither of their seventh-round picks.
What in the world?
They had nine draft picks, and only one played a snap, and it was their third-string running back. And I look at Tampa, and I'm like, I mean, Winfield Jr.'s out there flying around. He's making plays. We know their offensive line got improved. Mm-hmm. They had a good draft. They improved the team. And the Packers, you know, just kind of stayed in their own way. And, you know, maybe that's the end of an era there in Green Bay. I know LaFleur after the game said that he desperately wants Rodgers back. Say he's the leader of the team. He better be back, blah, blah, blah. But Rodgers didn't seem so committed. He said, you know, there's just a lot of uncertainty for a lot of guys here.
Didn't seem too happy with old LaFleur after the game either.
Well, I mean, I've said for a, you know, one of my takes over the last, you know, 7 or 8 years, just been, I feel like Aaron Rodgers is a front runner. I've said that. I feel like when things are going well for Rodgers, he will discount and double check, and he will, you know, beat you down. But if he falls behind early, he doesn't. I don't feel like he thrives. I don't feel like he has a lot of comebacks. I feel like he is one of those avalanche guys who will pour it on you whenever they got it going, and they'll beat you down.
And the Hail Marys, right? We look at the Hail Marys as seen like as this magical like comeback guy, but yeah, in reality, I think you're right.
He was bad yesterday, and I know Brady threw three picks, but like I won't say that Rodgers outplayed Brady by any means.
Yeah,
his numbers will look better, but I thought it was a bad game for Rodgers. I thought it was a bad game for Devontae Adams. You know, Adams, that first drive catches that touchdown, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say like 8 out of 10 times, 9 out of 10 times. He gets his feet down on the other one where he's out of bounds, you know, probably 7 of 10 times. It was just a sloppy game by him. Rodgers, whatever the hell he was doing at the end of the first half, I mean, that was just mind-blowing. They get the ball with 2 minutes left, and he's running a minute and 20 seconds, you know, just after a first down. They have 40 seconds left and two timeouts and aren't making any moves, and he ends up throwing a pick. And, you know, there's interference. Should have been interference. And, you know, officiating will be a topic of discussion for that game, especially when you consider they threw the pick – or they threw the interference on the third down call after – pretty much letting those defensive backs do that all game. I thought,
come on now. Kevin King grabbed him twice. He didn't grab him just once. He grabbed him twice.
Watch the interception Rodgers threw before the end of the first half. Yeah. It's the same exact thing.
There's contact, but it's not nearly as obvious, especially for the back judge who's literally seeing the jersey getting pulled.
Okay, well, there's not a jersey. There's not a white shirt, undershirt being pulled, sure. But there's a hand on his shoulder and a pull into the interception. Like, it's a flag, and it's a holding before that. And Devontae Adams, there's plays where he's getting held. You can't watch that game and not say that it was a physical.
No, yeah, game that I they completely were agree with that. To but just they sit allowing here and say the last call like was a bad call or shouldn't have been called. I mean, it's pass interference. Like,
it was.
Sometimes it gets called. Sometimes it doesn't.
But it didn't get called the entire game. Is what my point was.
And I feel like if it's blatantly obvious, that flag comes out a lot earlier than it did.
I don't have a problem when refs freeze for a second. Like I don't usually have a problem if it's a delayed call. Like in basketball, sometimes it takes your brain a second to process. Like, I don't have a problem with the late call. And like Draven said, it was interference. Anybody with eyes can see that he is holding him. And, I mean, Kevin King, oof, buddy.
My goodness. Bro, he was getting smoked all day.
He was his own little four horsemen of the apocalypse between the, you know, the worst time jump in the end zone I've ever seen on a deflected pass, the getting burned by Scotty Miller. There was another play that he got absolutely demolished.
It was Fournette rolling over him into the end zone. He was at the bottom of the pile on that one.
Maybe
as
that
well.
Was it. And then the third down there at the end of the game, like he had just a quartet of awful plays. Like he was awful. He's abysmal. He was a first round pick too, right?
Pretty sure.
He was either a first or a second round pick. I really hope it wasn't Ted Thompson's pick. Really hope it wasn't Ted Thompson's pick. But he, you know, he's out there just getting shredded. And
he went second round, but he went 33rd overall.
Okay,
so it was like basically the first.
I thought he was at the top of the second round. Yeah. I remember wanting the Titans to get him, which he looked awful. Oof. You have something to say, Hayden?
I just don't know how you let that happen before halftime. I mean, that was fourth down, right? They brought their punt unit out and then took him back off the field.
obviously it wasn't fourth down. They had picked up the first down with Fournette right before that.
Oh, so that was just like limited.
It was first and 10, 8 seconds left from like the 40. Okay. So like you still just can't allow that to happen. You still like just say, hey, like if you want to try to throw a short pass, you like what you do in that situation is you run an umbrella. You just like put your guys guarding the outside and then the end zone. Like you don't come out and single high and like play man covers because you know either they're going to try to throw a 4-yard pass out of bounds because there's 8 seconds, there's no timeouts, they can't get up and spike it, or they're going to throw to the end zone. And I mean, I get that you don't think Scotty Miller is going to be the deep threat, but if he's on Kevin King, he's a deep threat. My God, what a terrible game from him.
Yeah, like that's like you said, that's the one thing you can't let happen, and
he was just standing there too. Yeah, like, it was just like he was just caught in the sand.
Like it looked like he was sitting on he wanted to sit on a short route, but. Okay, you give that up. You give up that short route over a touchdown. That's the number one rule of playing quarterback. Well,
especially with 8 seconds left and no timeouts. Like, you want him to catch a short pass. Like, there's no timeout. There's no clock stopping after first downs. It's not college. Like, it was abysmal, and it was the difference of the game. Like, Rodgers with the ball down 14-10 with the Packers getting the ball to start the second half. Like, that should have been the game-changing moment. Like, you go down, you kick a field goal. You're down one. You get the ball back after half. Like, it's a completely different game. Instead, you don't score, and you give up a touchdown, and you know, then the first drive out of half, they fumble. Aaron Jones played a terrible game.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Bucs able to hold on to that game, and the, you know, mythical momentum didn't come through for the Packers. They kept getting those interceptions and getting the ball back, you know, needing a chance to go down and drive to win, and couldn't do it. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, you can be mad, but, bro, like, score on the goal line.
Exactly.
Like, you had 7 chances to score on the goal line, or 6 chances, I guess, to score on the goal line. On that drive and a previous drive, you couldn't do it. He had a couple chances to run there, too. Like on that third down, I don't know if the linebacker would have caught him or not, but he at least gains like 7 yards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's at the one or two, at the least.
And then you have the two-minute warning, you have 3 timeouts, and you go for it there, and if you don't get it, they're stopped at the 2, you're going to get the ball back because they're not going to be aggressive there. Like, Rodgers played a bad game. Adams played a bad game. And, you know, obviously Kevin King played a really bad game.
Yep.
And I thought LaFleur coached a poor game, and, you know, you add all that up together, and the Bucs are going to the Super Bowl. Congratulations to them. I'm a little mad at myself because I feel like in week 4 I was like, hey, the Rams or the Bucks are the team I'm picking out of the NFC just because they're the only team in that conference with a division. I mean, with a defense, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, by the time the playoffs rolled around, I just bought into the Packers. And I still came out of yesterday thinking the Packers were better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. But, like, you know, you've been saying that about Brady a lot of his career, and, you know, the guy just keeps winning, and that's part of being a winner is just finding ways to win.
It's absurd.
And I do think that weighed into the decision to go for the field goal down 8. I do think a part of the decision was, if we do score on 4th down and we do tie the game, Brady's still going to have, you know, 2 minutes and 3 timeouts to go get a field goal.
Yeah.
So, like, what are our chances of scoring on 4th down, getting the 2, and stopping Brady? Pretty low. We kick this field goal, we'll go down 5, and we hope that Tampa plays conservative and gives us the ball back.
Mm-hmm. What a loser mentality, though. Brady threw 3 straight interceptions in the, third to fourth quarter? Like, come on.
Well, I mean, I think that probably played into your decision of, like, well, we want them to, like, we want to give them the ball back because they won't let Brady throw it. And, you know, they threw on Evans. I mean, there's just a whole bunch of just dropping the ball, figuratively speaking, in that last, like, 2.5 minutes. Like, that kick returner going down with 2 seconds left on the other side of the 2-minute warning is one of the worst decisions. Like, LaFleur bailed him out because we're only talking about Matt LaFleur. Because that kicker, the kicker turner should have, you know, gained an extra 7 yards, ran those extra 2 seconds, and, you know, it's a completely different situation there. But, you know, I know he's 26-6. I know he's winning 2 NFC championships. But if I'm a Packers fan, I'm like, LaFleur, I can't look at you anymore, bro. It's either Rodgers or you, and I want you to go. I want Rodgers here, and we need a new coach. Now, obviously, that's not going to happen. He's 26-6, but you make that mistake, you make that decision in the biggest game of the year when everyone's watching. That's all anyone's going to think about when they think of you from now on. Tough, tough, tough scene.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the nightcap, it was one of those situations where we convinced ourselves the Bills would have a chance, and then you realize as soon as you saw Patrick Mahomes was healthy, you're like, yep, Chiefs ain't losing.
I knew that as soon as Brady won, I was like, well, NFL wants Mahomes Brady. Here we go.
Well, even when they went down 9-0, I was like, yep. I mean, they went down 9-0 because Tyreek Hill dropped a wide open pass. And once you saw Mahomes be able to move and look okay, you're like, yep, they're not losing this game.
Mm-hmm.
And Cam, you're all over it in terms of the Bills not being able to guard a tight end because Travis Kelce was wide open every single time.
Every time. He almost hit his over in the first half.
Yeah, he had 92 yards. I think he had 92. I was going to say, yeah. 72 like in the when I saw at the end of the first half. Shout out to Stephon Diggs for picking one game not to show up, though.
Yeah.
Bad Josh Allen bouncing back, too.
Mm-hmm.
Bad game from him. I thought it was a bad game from McDermott as well.
Yeah.
It's one of those situations, man, where, like, I hate when these coaches, you are not supposed to be there. We could all agree with that, right? The Bills aren't supposed to be in the AFC Championship.
Yep.
Especially, you know, from the early season expectations. You went for the first fourth down. You picked it up.
Mm-hmm.
You were aggressive around midfield. You're like, we're not punting here. It's fourth and one. We're going for it. And then you proceeded to kick on every other fourth and short. You're like, what are we doing here? You're not going to beat the Chiefs with field goals. Like, what are you doing? You have to score touchdowns.
Yeah, I don't understand how coaches don't realize you're not going to win playoff games kicking field goals against offenses like that.
I was going to say you can win some playoff games kicking field goals. Yeah, you ain't going to beat the Chiefs.
Yeah, like the Chiefs, right. even like the playing against Tom Brady, like you can't just kick field goals and win those games. Like I don't understand why the coaches don't see that. Like you said, they started off with the right mindset, it seemed like, and then they get down there and they're just like, we'll kick a field goal.
I thought they set the tone early. Like they went for the first fourth down, but then they had, you know, fourth and two from the 31, and you ended up trying to kick a 50-yard field goal, basically. And you got Josh Allen, man. He's one of your best short yardage backs in the league, it feels like. At least give him a chance on one of those, like, power sweep runs he has. Like, you had five options to do that throughout the game, and you didn't do it once.
That, like, first fourth down they converted, they ran that play again later in the game. Like, and that was a great play design, and I think that's a really hard play to stop. I think you could have ran that again.
You could have ran it all day.
What are they going to do? Josh Allen falls forward for 2 yards, or he tosses out, or he hands it up the middle if it's open.
I mean, that's the similar play. It wasn't the exact play, but it's a similar play they scored the a touchdown against the Colts where it's a straight quarterback run, but you just said knocks out, and your line doesn't get you too far down the field because you just need a yard, and if it's covered, you flip it up. And I just thought he coached scared, and you're not going to beat Andy Reid, who, you know, to be fair to Matt LaFleur, to be fair to McDermott, like Andy Reid dealt with a lot of those same criticisms for a lot of his career.
Yep.
He was loser guy. He was guy that kept getting to the conference finals and losing and making mistakes, playing scared, and now he's turned into a killer. You know, Andy Reid coaching as if, you know, that one Super Bowl has solidified his legacy, so now he's not scared of anything. So, you know, there's still time for LaFleur and McDermott to get there, but I thought Arians was more aggressive, and I thought Reid was more aggressive, even though he didn't really have to be. And, you know, those guys won.
Yep.
I mean, the fact that Arians even went for that fourth down before half, I mean, where they theoretically could have got stopped with 10 seconds left and Rodgers hits one pass for a field goal, like Arians came out and said, nope, we're going to go for it, and they pick up the first down and then throw it to the end zone. You know, one of Brady's best throws of his career just dropped it in a bucket, and that was the difference of the game. We're off and running in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. We'll come back on the other side. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, crafted using their unique brew pure process and only the finest flavors to deliver a surge of pure refreshment and a hard seltzer like no other. White Claw Hard Seltzer, made pure. By the way, Cam, I don't know if you saw the feedback. The Legit Radio Awards came out today.
Oh.
And we only got one mention, and it was for worst bumpers, and they said we have to become more diverse and, like, quit using the same ones all the time. So figured I'd pass along that criticism to you and Hayden. It's not all you. It was Hayden, too. You guys played a lot of the same bumpers.
I tried to switch it up. I'm just telling you what the Legit
Radio Awards said. That's the only mention we got. We didn't get –
it's not in our folder.
We were completely boring. I mean, I got 8 folders of Talk Sports bumpers, just for the record, and I feel like we use the same – like
you don't have 8 folders.
I got at least 7.
There's 7.
Okay, I was going to say there's at least 7. At least 7. White Claw Hard Seltzer, made pure. Please drink responsibly. Tennessee football, we're still waiting on some news. Tennessee basketball, Hayden, we got the new AP Top 25.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, it's not good, John.
It's not good? I wouldn't imagine it'd be good after you got your ass kicked twice in 1 week.
Yeah, we are no longer the highest ranked SEC team.
Understandable.
We actually aren't even the second highest ranked SEC team.
Oh, no.
We took quite the tumble.
How far did we fall? Well, first of all, where's Alabama come at? Do you have Alabama?
Yeah, they are at number 9.
Alabama comes in at number 9.
Yep.
Okay. I mean, I feel like they deserve it.
Yeah. Checks out.
They've been 18-9.
I would imagine we're also ranked behind Missouri after they kicked our ass.
Missouri comes in at number 12.
Okay. Where do we come in, like 13, 14?
No, we are all the way down at 18.
Oh, wow, we're barely a top 20 team.
Yeah, we slid all the way down behind 12
spots.
You know, okay, I guess that is, I guess that's deserved.
Yeah, when you lose like that twice, I think you kind of lose a lot of poll respect.
I asked on Saturday what the issue was. Like, what's the problem with Tennessee? I just wanted to see what people thought. Got a lot of Springers. Just, hey, Springer's out. I mean, if Springer's that important, then Springer should be a top five draft pick. Because, yep. I mean, it is fair to say the three games you lost, you haven't had Springer.
Yep.
You had him for, you know, 5 minutes against Alabama the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But this team just seems broken. Like, I put the question out, and it was a mix between Springer, you know, Fulkerson being soft, Fulkerson regressing, a lack of leadership on this team, which I think would also fall under kind of Fulkerson's. I think that should fall at his feet. You know, maybe Pons as well there. You know, you want your senior leaders to be leaders.
Yep, absolutely.
The upperclassmen aren't doing you any favors this year. Fulkerson and Pons just seem off. And your five stars haven't been elite. You know, Jaden Springer's been really good. Mm-hmm. Keon has been...
He shows flashes.
Shows flashes, but I'll just say he's a solid SEC player at this point. Like, he's nothing special. He's one of those guys, one of those Kentucky guys you look at and say he'll probably be better in the NBA than he was in college. Like, that's what it feels like right now.
Yeah, it's disappointing.
It's very disappointing.
I mean, that's the risk you take, though, with getting those one-and-done guys.
No, it is. And, I mean, and I do think he'll still be a one-and-done guy if he wants to be. Now, maybe if he looks, he's like, hey, I'm projected 15th or 16th. Maybe he's like, hey, coming back one more year, I could be higher. Like, maybe you start looking at that and it wouldn't be as much of a slam dunk for Keon to go pro. Or maybe he's like, hey, I'll still be a borderline lottery pick, and I'll go there and make millions of dollars, and it'll be more fun.
I think he's going to be gone just because if you look at it next year with Kendi Chandler coming in, like, Kendi Chandler might start next year, like, in that spot. Like you might see Johnson move farther down just because Kendi Chandler's more ball-dominant guard and going to push the pace.
Well, I was going to say, I feel like Keon's more of a two. Yeah. In college so far. So, I mean, I think him and...
That's what I'm saying. I think him and Muscovy might play. Slide to the two.
Okay, I was going to say, I think they can both play together. Like, and for me, that would be, like, Muscovy is the odd man out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or the guy coming off the bench. Like, I mean, I think that would be the case. So I think those two could play together. But Tennessee basketball seems to just kind of be broken right now. And, you know, I'm not going to come on here and rake Barnes over the fire, but I would say, like, I don't feel like he's really helping this team right now. Maybe it's one of those situations where he's hoping they figure it out and you're okay with slumping and in January if you can figure it out by the time March rolls around.
Yeah,
maybe you let your team kind of work through some trouble and you don't prioritize a regular season SEC title. But, you know, this team isn't winning the SEC. That's fair to say. Like, they're not going to be able to make up the 3.5 games Alabama has over them.
Nope.
No way, yeah.
But so, like, I think that's gone. Man. So now you're just hoping to somewhat still lock up a top-level seed, and then by that point, I'm really just being a top-5 seed. Because, I mean, if you're at 18th, you're flirting now where you'll be a 5 seed.
Yep.
And I know the net rating is different, and the, you know, your resume will look different than your – you know, your AP ranking. And Tennessee still has a chance this week to kind of right the ship. They play, what, Mississippi State tomorrow, Hayden?
Yeah, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock.
We'll be here for voluntary reaction afterwards. Hopefully we can get a win. And then you get Kansas on Saturday. So, like, you still have some chances to kind of right the ship. And, you know, you go 2-0 this week. You should move back into the top 13 or so, top 14 or so.
Yep.
Kind of get back on track. So the season's not over by any means. I don't want to act like it is. But this team, I mean, I think – The championship aspirations seem to be fading, right?
Absolutely. I mean, the teams look sloppy. The offense has struggled. It's frustrating to watch, honestly.
But you're not hitting the panic button just yet or anything, right? Or is it, well, is it getting to that point?
Well, what happens if we hit the panic button?
I mean, I mean nothing, well, I guess.
Like, what does that entail? Like, what does that mean? Like, I mean, I don't know, like, panicking ain't going to do no good. It's just kind of the way I look at it. Like, you have to just kind of stay the course. Like, this team's still going to be a tournament team. I mean, I would think. I mean, unless they just completely fall off the map. Like, this team's still going to be a tournament team. I mean, I've written off the championship aspirations in terms of winning the SEC, and I'll say winning the whole thing. That's gone.
I'd say Sweet 16 at best.
Well, I was getting ready to ask if you would lock in the Sweet 16 if you could, like, but you lose in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, I don't think they get past that anyways.
I don't think most people would. I think they'd still try to roll the dice to get to the Elite Eight and just hope this team puts it together. And, you know, like when Springer gets back, things will be okay. Because, again, keep in mind, he's been out all three games. You're undefeated with Jaden Springer.
My issue is when you get to the tournament, sometimes you get in those situations, like even if it's just a defensive battle and we're, you know, in a close game, whatever, usually there's a guy that takes over and just can carry you to a win, or, you know, or on the other team takes over and is able to beat, you know, upset a team, something like that. I don't think we have a guy that could do that. Like, if we needed somebody to take over right now, I don't think we have a guy.
I really thought that was going to be different before the year started. I thought we would have the defense that could stop that guy. But watching Missouri, full disclosure, I was listening to it on the radio. You know, they couldn't, was it Pinson they couldn't stop?
Mm-hmm. Xavier Pinson.
Yeah.
First guy to score over 20 on us this year.
Well, I mean, he damn near had 20 in the first half, right?
Yeah, he had 19.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And, I mean, Missouri's not even a good, like, shooting team normally, but they were shooting lights out on us. And I mean, that happens, you know. Shooting's up and down. Like, yeah, it seems like we've had bad luck with it, with, of course, our three losses specifically, but.
Yeah, it seems like Tennessee's been getting their ass beat by, you know, people shooting threes.
Yeah.
But that's the problem with, like, a good defense team. It's just like college football. Like, you can have as good of a defense as you want, but sometimes there's just, these players are good nowadays. They can shoot. There's a lot of people spacing the floor now more.
Great offense always, like, beats great defense.
Exactly. Well, so it's just not much you can do about that.
I think philosophically Tennessee prioritizes the rim and the mid-range over the threes.
Absolutely.
And that's,
you can kind of tell by the way they guard on the perimeter. Like, we have good perimeter defenders, but they do give them that little extra little bit of room because they want to prevent the drives. But that leaves them open to just a simple little crossover pull-up and bang.
Well, and that philosophy leaves you ripe for, you know, upsets in the regular season or in the postseason.
I was about to say, like a 5-12 matchup, playing a hot Western Kentucky or somebody. Like, that does not scream good to me.
I would not be surprised right now if we went out in the first round, just based off what they've shown lately.
Well, yeah, almost any mid-major team is going to rely on the three-pointer
to kind of
like overcome their lack of athleticism.
And they're usually hot, coming off a good conference tournament win, whatever, and a lot of momentum.
Tennessee does feel like the 5 seed right now that is
prime for upset.
Very exposable.
Prime for upset, right? Yep. Yeah. Or even a 4 seed. I mean, the 13-4 happens a lot more frequent than it used
to. Here comes Yale. Here comes that Ivy League school with a upset-minded.
Are they playing? Are they even playing?
I don't think so. I think their league's canceled.
I thought the Ivy League was
toss the bullet there.
Thank goodness.
Thank God we don't play Harvard.
Right?
I think there was 2 13-seed upsets the last tournament we had.
Yeah, I mean, the 13-seed is the new 12-seed. Like, I mean, the 13-seed, I feel like, over the last decade has probably sprung more upsets than the 12 seed.
Yeah, it'd be really close. I think those are actually two of the most popular at this point, outside of like the 9-8.
I would say the 13. Yeah, I mean, I guess you're right. I was going to say it happens more, but probably not. The 9-8 is just a coin flip.
Yeah, exactly. But I think the best case here is almost to like try and save face a little bit and see if you can figure out if there's a guy out there, a guy that can take over. Like, just start drawing up for somebody. Like,
well, that would require Barnes to draw plays up. He doesn't seem to really want to do that these days.
No, we don't do that.
Exactly.
And I'm not going to come out here and just bash Barnes, I mean, because it's not going to do us any good. Like, you know, he's your coach for as long as he wants to be. So I'm not going to come on here and, you know, talk about that. And Tennessee's basketball program is a week removed from being in the top 10. Like, you had a bad week and you fell 12 spots. But, like, the program is in good shape. It's just this team, I feel like we were promised better with this team, you know, as we endured a pretty bad year 5 for Barnes. Right? Like, last year he gets the big money.
Mm-hmm.
And he struggled. And you're like, don't judge this year because next year is going to be special. And at times this season looked like it could be special. And at times right now it's like, man, is this what we shaved our legs for?
Is Fulkerson just
like last year's team sometimes?
And is Fulkerson, is it because he got chewed out? Is that why he's playing so soft? Like, is it like the little puppy dog? Like, he yelled at him, and now he's got the little puppy dog eyes over there in the corner? Like, what's going on here?
I don't know. He has not been good this year.
He looks out of it, too, man.
They all thought that he would be able to respond to mm-hmm. that. No Dina Karlov from any of you guys? Okay, that's fine.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, no idea.
Never mind.
You want to care to explain, just so you know, we're not out of the loop.
You guys won't get it. You won't even appreciate it. It's fine. Just Knoxville's own. Just trying to show some love to a Knoxville girl. You guys know who Dina Carter is?
No, I don't know a lot.
None of you guys
Knoxville
know who Dina Carter
culture.
Is.
Culture.
No.
I mean, she was famous.
Don't think so.
What'd she do?
She's a singer.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'm bad at singing. She's got a couple bops. One big one. I feel like it was big. Again, she's Knoxville's own. She used to bartend down at Backdoor Tavern. I mean, she's a local girl.
Hmm.
Just trying to
come up.
Yeah, just trying to get you guys a little cultured.
What does this have to do with anything that we were talking about?
You know, just trying to show her some love.
Hmm. Shout out to her.
She had an album called "Did I Shave My Legs for This?" You know, where she has a song too, where she got all nice and pretty for a man. She waited, put up all the bad stuff, and then he comes home and just, you know, unappreciative. Kind of like how we.
So that's us right now?
We had shaved her. Yeah, we had waited, went through the bad stuff to shave our legs and wait for this championship this year, mm-hmm. and here we are.
Finally got out of that toxic relationship.
Yeah. You guys never heard Strawberry Wine?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that.
I don't think I have.
Hayden, you ever heard Strawberry Wine?
Strawberry Wine. That song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Is that her?
That's her.
Okay. Hey. Okay.
Knoxville's own.
I think that song, yeah.
Knoxville's own.
Good voice, yeah. Okay, cool.
Learned something today.
Yeah, I did. What do you know?
I'm happy to help.
Deanna? Is that her name?
Dina.
Dina. Yeah. Dina. Dina. Strawberry
Wine. Does kind of look like Deanna,
one.
But it's, I mean, it's just D-A-N-A, so I guess it's Dina.
Dina.
Yeah, like I said, used to bartend down at the back door.
Wow.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a story, huh?
Went 5 times platinum.
5 times?
Nice. 5 times.
Wow.
Nice.
It was a bop.
Sounds like it.
You had two good songs on an album, especially back in the 90s. I mean, you couldn't illegally download music, man. People had to go buy the albums. Like, if you wanted to hear one song whenever you wanted, you had to go buy the album.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's
crazy to think about.
I mean, if you had, like, one big single, chances are your album went, you know, multi-times platinum just because people wanted to hear that song whenever they wanted.
That's hilarious, actually.
Now they just put it on their Spotify playlist. Or,
yeah. Don't have to worry about it.
You know, even in the mid-2000s, just burn
buy
on a
songs
CD.
Individually, too.
Yeah. Yeah, they did just release actual like singles too, but yeah. Yeah. Okay. 3 number 1 hits, good for her.
Shout out to her.
3 number 1 on the Billboard charts, good for her.
Pretty impressive.
That's how I feel watching this basketball team. Yeah, this is what we waited all year for last year.
They frustrate me.
I think it makes it worse with how much shambles our football team was in as well. I feel like it kind of adds to our expectations with the basketball team, does it not? We kind of think, at least we got basketball.
Yeah,
and when they
like,
lose,
save
it's
us.
Like kind of all falling apart.
Well, I mean, if by that line of thinking, which I guess we didn't, when did we hire Danny?
Was that Wednesday?
We hired him the night, the day, we hired him the day after we got thumped by Florida, right? So, yeah, Wednesday.
Yeah I think it was Wednesday.
So that loss probably hurt worse because, but at least like you were like, hey, we fired Pruitt and Fulmer.
Yeah.
Got rid of them. I mean, at that point, we didn't know who our ID was going to be. We thought it might be like John Gilbert, and it wasn't going to feel good. And then you went out and got a stud. And then, yeah, he was in attendance Saturday. He's like, man, these guys are losers. Why did I come here? Thumped by Konzo. Dominated by Konzo. At least the Lady Vols guy's back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Kelly Harper, Hayden, and the Baby Blue Warriors, they had a hell of a week. You know, they almost beat UConn. They almost beat UConn. They probably felt like they probably left that game like, hey, we could play with anybody in the country. That's the number 3 team. We're just as good as them. We just made a couple mistakes, and then they thumped Kentucky yesterday, right?
Oh yeah.
The Baby Blue Warriors are ready to go.
By almost 20.
Was Kentucky ranked?
Yeah,
they were.
Oh yeah, like number 12. Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay. Yeah. Shout out.
I mean,
to Kelly.
They played with UConn, and I was pretty impressed by that. But okay, yeah, Kelly's got them right. But man, Danny White comes in. Basketball team goes 0-2.
Barnes on the hot seat.
Coincidence.
Is Barnes right now, is that what's happening? Is Barnes like trying to send a message like, hey, I told you to hire John Gilbert, my boy. You don't want me to be happy? Fine.
T- tank this team.
Yeah. You won't be happy either.
Yeah.
I'll take Nate Oates up here.
I mean, I don't think we're going to get Nate Oates. Alabama's got a little taste of success now, buddy.
Yeah.
All that extra football money they got. They're not going back to being poor when it comes to basketball. Once you get that little taste of first basketball success and you have the extra money laying around, Nate Oates is going to be a stud.
Now they think they don't speak broke.
Yeah. It's changed now. Alabama's going to be a thorn in our side in basketball. I mean, they have been. Even as we were so much better than them as a program, they still found ways to beat us. But they'll be good at basketball now for the next 15 or 20 years, I'd say.
Well, at least on the bright side, Petty's probably gone.
Maybe.
I don't know. As I said, probably. It's no guarantee.
Yeah, this year of eligibility doesn't even count, so who knows? All right, we'll talk Tennessee football coaching search, what we know, which isn't a lot. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, let's get into some coaching search stuff. Here's what we know. All right, and here's what we're speculating. there's a lot of names randomly getting thrown out here. Just like a Danny White coaching search is known to do.
I love that we don't know anything.
Do you?
Yeah, I love the mystery of it. I hate stuff getting spoiled. I like the surprise aspect. And I think it means he's more professional than we've seen in a while if you're able to keep stuff tight to the vest. And I love that.
So whenever you see a name linked to Tennessee, do you think it is realistic? Or do you just think, this is just people making stuff up? Because there have been some names. There have been some names that have, you know, been circulating. Last week it was Tony Elliott. And I don't know if you saw over the weekend, Clemson's guys were like, no, we talked to Tony Elliott and he hasn't talked to anybody from Tennessee.
Yeah, and that's what I've been seeing a lot of is like the names get out there and then it comes out of it like, oh yeah, we haven't even really talked to half those names you put out there. And I'm just like, okay, cool. Just some smoke and mirrors. This stuff is supposed to be going on behind the scenes, so I'm glad it's actually going on behind the scenes. That's kind of just my take on it. I don't know. Like, I understand the fun of like, you know, tracking everything or trying to keep up with who it could possibly be and having the debates about it and stuff like that. But I like the fact that the guy's just put his head down and is getting the work and is going to get us a guy despite, you know, what's floating around.
PJ Fleck names came up.
Mm-hmm.
Let me guess, Draven. You like PJ Fleck.
I don't.
Oh, I'm a PJ guy. He's one of the guys I won in 2017.
I don't see it. I'm on. You like PJ Fleck?
I have no strong feelings about PJ Fleck. I mean, I get the concerns people have with him in terms of his motivational tactics, you know, the cheesiness of some of them. That would be kind of annoying. And, you know, especially you said 2017, Cam, like bringing him in after Butch Jones embarrassed you with saying the cliches and all the stuff he would say would have been a little bit too much. But I do think PJ Fleck can coach football. And, like, I do think that should be priority number one. Like, can you coach football? Can you recruit? I do think he could do both those things. Now, I do think that he would be very easy to hate, and I do think that like this relationship would probably be pretty toxic with him. But if he wins enough, we'd be happy with him.
And that's my thing. Like, you say it would be too much right after Butch, but okay, yeah, like, the you know, everybody's going to hate the introductory press conference, all that stuff. But when he starts winning, y'all aren't going to care at that point.
If. That's just such a if he starts winning. Because if he starts
where
losing,
where is he not won?
He hasn't really won inside the Big Ten West. Like, inside his own, like, division, he hasn't really done
so
well.
I mean, it's Minnesota.
Like, I mean, I understand, but, like, I mean, is it Minnesota or is he a winner? Like, which one is it? Like,
he's got, when's the last time y'all ever remember Minnesota having double-digit win seasons?
I know, he did that once, though. Like, is that being a winner or is that having a good season? Because, I mean, if it's just about one season, then sure, he's a winner. And, I mean, I know he did it at Western Michigan. I'm not diminishing that. You know, taking over a team. I know his first year he went 1-11. I don't know what Western Michigan was in 2012, but I imagine it wasn't much better than that because I remember them being very, very bad. And he built them up.
Yeah.
And it's tough for him because if he leaves after 11-2 at Minnesota, mm-hmm. he does look like a winner. He does look like a builder. But he comes back and he goes 3-4. And I don't know what their opt-out situation was. It probably wasn't good because I feel like a lot of the Big Ten teams didn't have good opt-out situations.
Still, they had kind of high expectations,
Yeah, it wasn't a great year this year.
They came in ranked in the top 20. Yeah. And, you know, them getting the only time I watched them play was when they got smacked by Maryland.
Oh, yeah.
And they went 3-4 this year. So, like, that makes me wonder, was 2019 kind of a fluke? Or was it is the COVID year a fluke or whatever? Like, I just don't know if I would put P.J. Fleck in the boat of being a winner.
Let's not forget they made Michigan's offense look really good that first.
That is true. They got first pounded game. By Michigan, right?
Yeah, they got killed by Michigan. It was like 40-20.
They thought that new quarterback at Michigan was going to be like trophy winner.
We saw where the rest of the year that year went for him. So
they're also playing in the Big Ten West. Like
that's what I'm saying.
That's
like
such a weak division.
And I don't think his record's even very good inside the Big Ten West. I mean, I know like he's at Minnesota, but still, like he's playing the Purdue's of the world.
Purdue, Illinois, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Iowa, and Northwestern.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you should have a good record at Minnesota if you are a competent coach. And 3-4 this year, I don't know how to judge the COVID year. It got Jerry Pruitt fired, but, you know, his was really, really bad. I don't know what we look at Minnesota. I don't know what their opt-out situation was. I know here in Tennessee we didn't really have any, right? Like, we didn't have any real significant opt-outs at all, right?
No.
People saying they're focusing on academics, that was pretty much it.
Sure, like we had Gibbs and at one point like Keaton shut down, but Keaton played, you know, a good part of the year.
Schamberger.
Yeah, and Schamberger played a good part of the year too.
I don't even know what he
I just remember him walking.
Remember what his rationale was.
I mean, I just think he had gotten benched and was like fighting and like I remember him walking off the field at Georgia just yelling at everybody like and like something was rotten there behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. But either way, PJ Fleck's name came up and now we've gotten to another Big Ten coach. There's been some smoke around James Franklin.
Also a winner.
Now, James Franklin I do think is a winner.
Yeah.
I think James Franklin is a stud.
Mm-hmm.
But I do wonder if you can hire James Franklin.
My thing is, would he want to come here?
If I'm James Franklin, I'm listening, especially if the money Tennessee's throwing around is legitimate.
How much does he make at Penn State?
I believe his salary, he got an extension, and I believe his average salary basically comes out to $7 million with incentives. Like, after the incentives, I believe he can make up to $7 million.
And isn't that our budget right there?
I think they said we could pay up to $8 million, I think is what some people have said. And keep in mind, I mean, you know, the tax situation in Tennessee would be a little bit better than it would be in Pennsylvania with the income tax. So maybe you save an extra $300,000 or $400,000, which, I mean, isn't nothing whenever you're looking at the difference. And, I mean, there is maybe a thought that you've reached the plateau at Penn State. Like, you're just never going to be able to beat Ohio State.
Yeah.
As in terms of being the premier program. Now, maybe you come to Tennessee and you're like, hey, I'm just not going to beat Florida or Georgia either. But, you know, if you're James Franklin and you're in the SEC, you were able to beat them. Now, they were a different beast. Don't get me wrong. It's Mark Richt and maybe what year was it? I guess he wasn't even here at all when Kirby was here. So, it's just Mark Richt and Will Muschamp that you were beating.
Yeah.
And Derek Dooley and
still, though,
Butch Jones,
but back-to-back nine-win seasons at Vandy. That's impressive, matter what.
Well, not only that, but look at the recruiting classes he had. I mean, he was recruiting top 25 classes to Vanderbilt.
I mean, he made a bowl game every single year.
Like, Tennessee was having to fight Vanderbilt for recruits, like, out of the mid-state. Like, we were having to go in and, like, you know, didn't we almost lose Derek Barnett to Vandy?
I can't remember.
Probably.
Like, I feel like that was, like, a thing. Like, I mean, and then Franklin left, but I want to say that, like, Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm misremembering. I thought we had to really beat them for some of those kids in the 2014 class, and it helped that Franklin dipped. But
I believe that, yeah.
And then at Penn State, I mean, you know, I will say at Penn State he took over a program that was in disarray.
Yeah.
They were coming off the Schiano stuff, and I know they had the 2 years of Bill O'Brien, but they were still on, like, bowl bans and had sanctions because I remember them celebrating by going bowling whenever the NCAA – basically they sued the NCAA, and they won, and they got their bowl – game privileges reinstated. So it wasn't like Franklin was scared to go to Penn State during a time when they were facing NCAA uncertainty or facing sanctions.
Would you want to do that again?
It depends, man.
I feel like it's almost a borderline lateral move at this point, too, at best.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. But, I mean, like, you're resetting a clock and you are getting there back. And, you know, maybe you feel like you could win bigger in the SEC than you could at Penn State. I don't know.
I feel like you look at us having to play Alabama every year, and you're like, that's basically like playing Ohio State every year. Like,
yeah, but at least that's not in your division, though.
Yeah, fair. Yeah.
I mean, it's still every year. It is your yearly rival, sure, but like, at least like you can still win the SEC East by losing to Alabama.
Yeah.
And I look, I don't know if Franklin's realistic or not. Like, that's been a name that Tennessee has been linked to, and if you believe the $8 million and that Denny White wants a sitting head coach that's a winner that can maybe, you know, pump up this fan base and make everyone happy and unified, then I think Franklin would check some of those boxes. Now, I do think we'd probably get called hypocrites, even though I've looked around and ain't too many national media people really bothered James Franklin about the whole Vanderbilt rape thing while he's been at Penn State. But best believe if he was hired by Tennessee and we liked the hire, they'd be like, well, what about Shiano?
Yeah, it would come up instantly.
Now, wasn't there a Penn State, like, issue, not like last spring, that kind of got like dismissed or something like that?
That was basically, he was on, or I don't even know if he was on record, he was told, the report was he basically had told them not to talk to cops. Basically told his players not to talk to cops whenever it came to, was that the Penn State thing too? I mean, I feel like he just has had,
it was a sexually involved case, I thought.
It was something, and basically he was just like, don't talk to anybody about it.
I mean,
and then he was I don't know exactly the exact details, but I mean, he was linked to a rape cover up at Vanderbilt, too.
Yeah.
But again, hired at Penn State. No one's called for his job. Penn State couldn't really afford to have another coach involved in a sex scandal. So if they didn't deem it as serious enough, then I don't think it should disqualify Tennessee from.
Yeah. I don't think that, like, cop thing's a big deal either, because that's kind of, I think that's more of one of those things where he's almost just like, don't incriminate yourself. You know what I mean? Like, once you start talking, you can incriminate yourself in different situations. Like,
could just be
that's
like,
the first
hey,
thing a lawyer tells you to do. Is
I was going to say, it could just be like, hey, don't speak without us there. Don't talk until you have lawyers. Don't say anything you can't take back. I mean, that's easy to say there.
Mm-hmm.
I think COVID probably helped him out, because it came out right before we kind of shut down, so it kind of just got lost in the shuffle.
But full disclosure, I mean, like we talked about PJ Fleck going 3-4. Penn State went 4-5. They ranked top 10 in the country. Now, I will say Penn State, I know, had opt-outs. Like, they had their top 10 linebacker opting out.
Yep.
And they had their best running back opt out too, right? And then their second string guy got hurt first week.
Yep.
And they beat Indiana.
They started out like 0-4, didn't they?
Yeah.
And then they kind of turned it around a little bit.
And they beat Indiana. They got cheated in their first game against Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
Penix was down. I think we can all admit that. Penix was down.
He lost the ball.
He didn't make it to the end zone. He got robbed.
In a lot of those games they lost, they had more yards than the other team. Like, they just played bad, ended up finding a way to lose.
And again, they went 11-2 the year before, so I don't know what they lost. And again, I don't know what the opt-outs were. But, I mean, since getting to Penn State, he had the first two build years and then went 11-3, 11-2, 9-4, 11-2. Like, this guy's a winner.
He is.
Would that be a universally beloved hire? Because I would love James Franklin here. Again, without knowing the full rape story, obviously we're just saying the word rape and having a coach linked to that is bad. But
especially after all our Title IX issues we had here, too.
Sure. But I haven't seen anybody really criticize James Franklin for it. Draven, would you be on board with James Franklin?
I would, yeah. Especially, I mean, like I said, the whole making Vandy just competitive and being able to win. Because 9 games at Vandy is like, I feel like that's like going undefeated here almost. Like the same, know, the same way, pretty much.
And I will say that, like, you know, context matters and the East sucked.
Yeah.
That but that's true. Fine. It's still Vandy. Like, I mean, Vandy still, if the East sucks, Vandy should still suck too. But, like, they beat Mark Richt at the end of his, you know, the end of his line, and Butch Jones and Derek Dooley and Will Muschamp. It's not like he beat Mullen and Kirby.
And I will say they started out 0-5 and won their last 4 games. So I guess if there is any positive of that, at least he got some of the guys on board towards the end of the season, right? I mean, they started to at least play better towards the end of the year.
He's a good coach. The only thing that would draw him to Tennessee is the money, the security in a contract, and, you know, starting the clock over and being a chance to be back in Tennessee and be back in the SEC. But it seems kind of far-fetched. But that's a name that's gained a lot of steam. You've seen a lot of guys start talking about that nationally and locally. All right, another name we've talked about, Matt Campbell. I said Dan Campbell.
Another guy I was very high on in 2017.
Eating off kneecaps now.
Apparently when we interviewed him in 2017, we wanted him to pay his own buyout. So that's why we never gained any traction with him. So
that's
the
guy I wanted.
We had treated him like he would be lucky to come to Tennessee in 2017. But I have seen Iowa State's people a little bit worried. You know, at least their fans and their media saying, yeah, there's something to this. What do we think there?
Yeah, I like Matt Campbell.
I like Matt Campbell, too. The only thing is, like we talked about last week, this has been his only really good year. So it's...
I wouldn't say it's been his only good year, because I believe he has three of their top 10 records of all time.
Yeah, I mean, they're a losing program, for sure.
Yeah,
it's a tough place to win.
Him winning 8 games is considered a good year there. So I wouldn't say he's only had 3 good years, or 1 good year, because, you know, 8-5 is good at Iowa State.
And I think that's what some people get into the trouble of when they're, like, looking at these candidates, is they see, like, these, like you said, like, the 8-5 or wherever your record is like that, and they don't take into the context that, like, it's Iowa State or it's Minnesota or it's one of these random schools that isn't used to winning at all, and they're having some success under a coach. I think that's a sign the coach has changed it a little bit, at least the culture to an extent.
You can obviously make that case, but then you could also say it wouldn't work somewhere else either. I mean, like, it's a thing that... Now, Iowa State, like, is top 10 in the country now, but, like, has the pressure ever been the same amount at Iowa State as it would be at Tennessee?
No, because it's Iowa State. Like, it was probably as close as it would get this year when they were, you know, leading the Big 12 and went to a, you know, championship
game. And they won the Fiesta Bowl. They bullied Oregon. So, like, I mean, but if you're Matt Campbell, you might be like, okay, this is the absolute ceiling of what I'm going to do. Like, we've taken advantage of a little bit of Texas being down. Like, this has been nice. This is the best I'm going to do. Now's the time to leave. If you're him and you're getting a huge pay raise, and I would say it's just not going to have the money to match $8 million a year. But maybe it's a situation where Tennessee offers him that, and he gets six from Iowa State. And he's like, you know what? This $2 million ain't really that big of a difference to me. I'm happy here. I'm staying here, and doesn't leave. But I mean, the case there is like, hey, you've hit your ceiling. You're never going to win a championship at Iowa State.
Yeah.
But, you know, for some coaches, the pressure is not worth it, man. Like, hey, I'm a king here. Like, look at what, you know, obviously the way it ended, it changes the conversation a little bit. But think of Greg Marshall. He's like, I'm good at Wichita State, man. Like, I don't need to go anywhere. Now, granted, he was beating the hell out of the players and coaches and was running like a dictatorship there. But, like, he was like, I'm good here. I don't need to go anywhere else. But, again, keep in mind, he was beating the hell out of people. So maybe that's the wrong comparison to make.
Yeah, I mean, he's been at Iowa State for 5 years. He's won Big 12 Coach of the Year three of those years.
Sure.
Like, he's
But could he handle the SEC, and could he handle Tennessee's fan base? Could he handle, like, the added pressure? I think those things are legitimate questions with any coach. Like, I mean...
I think we're easier to ignore as a fan base than we make it seem. Because we're very, you know, vocal on the internet and stuff. But I think, like, as a coach, like, yeah, you'll still hear some of that stuff and things like that. But you could also just... not be online, you know. I don't know.
I understand what you're saying, but I just go back to what Butch Jones said, and it always stands out to me where he's just like, the negativity of this place can be overwhelming.
I mean, it can.
So like, you can block it out, but maybe you can't. Like,
I mean, I'm sure, you know, he'll of course still get like the boosters and stuff in his ear, but I don't know.
Hour one in the books. We'll kick off hour two of the headlines. Jeez. Feels like it's been like one long running day, like the last 4 days for me, trying to stay online and stay up to date. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.